What's good, everybody? Now, keep it in mind, nothing is more powerful than belonging to something greater than yourself. Being a part of community is a powerful feeling, and people are willing to invest all that they have to be a part of something bigger and greater than themselves. This is why the membership business model is so powerful. It is quite possibly the most trendy model of them all right now. And if done correctly, you can grow your business from a small operation into something that makes real impact on people's lives. And the best part about that, from a business standpoint, is it's going to make a great impact on people's lives, and it can come back and give you a great return on your investment. It can be one of the best things you do for your business in developing a regular stream of income. So what we're going to get into today is the membership business model, how it can be applied not only to one industry, but pretty much all industries, right? And the different opportunities and options that you have out there. Today's episode of the Ambition Show. Let's get it. So everybody, once again, I'm your host, Aaron Muhammad, and this is the Ambition Show, the podcast, the platform to help entrepreneurs, no matter if you're a small business owner, a freelancer, you gig life, side hustle, doesn't matter. You need the tools, you need the information to make some of the best decisions for your business, whether you're starting your business, growing your business, maybe even selling it in the future. And I bring up selling it because if you do not show a good regular cash flow, steady stream of income, who's going to want to buy your business? So if you're trying to exit a business, this can still be applied to it. You know, a lot of people, they don't go into businesses necessarily thinking that they're going to sell it at some point. But it's nothing wrong with having that. You should have an exit strategy, right? But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're not talking about the exit strategy. We're talking about making that business profitable. So if you do develop an exit strategy, you could look back and say, hey, I have a profitable business, and now I know what it's worth. I know it's worth quite a bit. Give steady cash flow. I should get top dollar for it. But the very first thing you need to do is make sure that you have the right business model that works for you and your business. Notice I'm not saying industry. I don't talk about industry when we talk about business models, right? Some business models, some distribution models, people get them confused, and they think that, you know, pretty much they should stay connected to one specific industry. And don't get me wrong, clearly there are some that are better for other industries than others. But what it comes down to is it all about the audience. Who are you working for? Who are you working with? Who's your target audience? Who are you trying to connect with? And the best thing about this business model we're talking about today, which is the membership business model, that could be applied to pretty much any industry, any business, okay? It isn't limited. Don't limit yourself. So first off, some of us, we probably have seen, hell, we're, especially nowadays, we're probably a part of numerous membership businesses and business models. We just might not even recognize it. So we're getting the definition out of the way, like really what is a business, or what is the membership model, but then how to apply that model to your business, right? And this is where you can really start peeling back, you know, the banana peel and say, okay, is this right for my business right now? Because maybe you grow into a membership model. I'll talk about that because sometimes a lot of businesses, they'll make that leap, they'll make that jump way too soon. And when they do that, they kind of put themselves in a really tough position because they really haven't built up that value. So we'll talk about that, how to apply the membership model to your business. And then, of course, you got to have something to reference, successful examples of what the membership model is all about, right? And like I say, you're probably a member of at least 3 to 4 of them, right? And don't even notice it. Might not even see it as a membership business model, right? But when you take a step back and you look at it, you're like, wow, that's kind of the reason why I joined, or that's the reason why I bought this product. That's the reason why I became a part of that community, right? Think about it. I gave you those three: joined, bought the product, part of that community. Key areas, right? And what separates the membership model from everything else, especially that community piece. So we'll get into that in just a sec. All right, everybody. So I think you may have heard this term. If not, maybe you haven't heard this slogan before. Membership has its privileges. I can imagine that a lot of us have heard this before. Okay. This is, of course, a classic slogan by American Express back in the day, back in the 50s. is when they established this. And this was actually a part, you know, part of their whole marketing of their credit card, right? And the idea was, is that being a member had its level of benefits. Being a paid member, because of course, you know, to join a membership, you usually forfeit, you know, whatever the fee is, annually, monthly, quarterly, whatever it may be. But the idea was to promote the idea of being a part of this exclusive club, because it was exclusive. You had to be accepted and you also had to pay a membership fee. So think about it on top of now we're building up those layers of really what separates the membership model from others. Not only did you have to be accepted, but you also had to pay, right? So it's not like just, okay, I pay my fee and I'm a member. No. We also have to accept you. Now, of course, that whole model has become a little diluted over the years, where some people, as long as they're paying, they're becoming members. But keep that in mind, that this was a key aspect of how it was established, okay, and being a part of a group, a part of a community. And that slogan sealed the deal. Membership has its privileges. Right off the bat, what you're establishing is you're a part of an entire separate subgroup of people that are in this exclusive community, and you have benefits and you have privileges being a part of this community. So when you start thinking about, oh, well, I have to do an application, I have to get accepted. We're not talking about like all those other stuff when it comes to credit cards, right? Credit rating and all that. Because there are people for years, especially, I mean, I remember 15, 20 years ago. Dude, if you said you had an American Express card, right? We all know that that was a different level of the way people thought about, oh, you're part of that group. And it even has on the card, member since X year, whatever year you joined, right? So what is a membership model, or what is a membership business model for consumers? And then there's also a different way to look at it from businesses. That's more the consumer aspect. Even though you can apply that still to a business, because then certain businesses say, yeah, I'm a part of this community. I'm part of this group. It's exclusive. I had to apply. I had to be accepted. May even had to do an interview, and I have to pay. But then I have all these additional benefits that come along with being a part of that community. Well, a couple of things, a couple of elements that are really important when it comes to being a part of the membership model or part of a membership community. Sometimes what you have from a business standpoint is lower ongoing cost, right? Because now what you're doing is you're spreading that cost across a larger community, a larger group. So you can apply certain benefits, right? As opposed to one individual or one organization, it's across a lot of the groups. A benefit from the business standpoint, and I brought this up earlier, is predictable income, predictable recurring revenue. If my target is 1,000 members, I know what that annual fee is going to be, or the monthly fee or the quarterly fee, right? Through those membership fees. So now I know, or I can have a very good and accurate projection of what it's going to be. One of the worst things we do as entrepreneurs, one of the worst things I've always seen with entrepreneurs, right? Oh, well, how much are you going to earn in 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, 36 months? And there's a lot of entrepreneurs that can't answer that question. And the reason why is they're thinking, well, I'm working from gig to gig or project to project, you know, client to client. And it's hard for them to gauge predictable income. And this is one of the first things, if you're ever pursuing a loan, you're ever working with investors, this is one of the first things they're going to worry about. This is one of the things they're going to be focused on. Predictable income, recurring revenue. Remember I talked about, if you are going to have that extra strategy, what are you going to say, hey, this could be your potential cash flow for my business. So if you're going to purchase my business, that's one of the first things somebody's looking forward to. They're like, well, how much am I going to get from it? Well, I made, one year I made $50,000, another year I made $150,000, next year I made $1 million, then I went back to $200,000. That's all over the place. What's the predictable income? Well, if you have a membership model, not only for you running the business right now, but if you're ever going to sell and exit the business, or you're looking for partners, you can say, well, this is, we have 1,000 members. each member pays $500 a year, right? If you're looking at an annual fee, or if you break it down, which typically the most successful, and we'll talk about a few more successful models later on. Typically the most successful models, it's usually a quarterly, at the longest, it's a quarterly, maybe monthly, but the quarterly really is kind of that sweet spot. Unless you're breaking it down to a monthly fee, and that monthly fee is normally a really small amount. Like I said, I'll give you some examples, not only successful models, but in general. It's usually what comes to mind. It's like usually a monthly, or at the longest, a quarterly, not normally an annual, right? When we think of things like credit cards typically have that annual fee, like once again, like an American Express. But nowadays what they're doing, one credit card in particular, Credit One Bank, one of their cards has a membership fee, right? One credit card in particular, Merrick Bank. Okay, I give you an example of different ways to do this. So Merrick Bank, they have their membership or their annual fee, but they break it down monthly, right? So they give you, hey, this is what it's going to be over the entire year, but every month they're breaking it down. They're charging every month to build up to that annual fee. So there's different ways to do it. And that's one way, once again, of giving you that predictable income. Because you say, I have those 1,000 members. Yeah, if they pay me $1,000 a year, right? And you have 1,000 members. But instead of charging them one time for that $1,000, you break it down across the month, or you break it down every quarter. It's a great way to produce regular revenue. Helps you on your books too. Another key benefit. Because see, when people think benefits, they just think of stuff. But remember, a lot of things we talk about business, we've talked about this in marketing especially, it's emotional, right? It's psychological. Hell, it's even spiritual in some cases. That's the difference with a brand. Enhance customer loyalty and retention. Now, you're probably wondering, why would you give me more retention? Because it becomes, like I said, membership. I'm not going to use the whole slogan, but membership through a heightened sense of, think about it, from a community and a connectedness, togetherness. You're part of a group. You're part of an exclusive group that only me and this brand and these other people share. Not everybody's important. Not everybody can be a member. That's what you're setting up in their brain. That's what you're putting in their heart. Like, hey, I'm a member of all the. There's a billion people on this planet. There's a billion people here. There's only 1,000 members. There's only 10,000 members. Think about what that says to that person who's a member. Even if they're part of a community, and of course, they're still part of a target market, right? There's travelers all over the world, but not all the travelers have an American Express card that gives them the benefits of traveling. Because let me tell you something. Like I said, it's not even just... Yeah, I brought up 15, 20 years ago. Even to this day, somebody breaks out one of those traveling credit cards where it is memberships, because American Express doesn't lock it down now. It's like plenty of other companies have them. People look at it differently, especially when you go to an airport, you go to a hotel, you go to a restaurant. You hear about people, oh man, you get extra points, bonus points, exclusive points. You can use your points towards things that not everybody can use them. So the membership model provides a lot more than what we're just thinking, a service or a product, right? It has a business benefit and a consumer benefit. You can build up a great relationship with these customers. I hear podcasts, I see videos, I see YouTube channels, and not enough of them talk about building that community for a true, clear line of communication. Remember, communication is also, it's not about just speaking, it's listening. Listening is more important. When you have a membership model, when you have that community around your brand, you have a direct line of people. Hey, let me get your input on this before I release a new video, before I release a new podcast, before I release a new article in my blog, before we come out with a new product. Membership. I'm going to keep saying it. Membership has its privileges. American Express, please don't sue me. please don't come after me. Okay. I'm actually propping you guys up. You know, you should really pay me actually for this. Okay. Shameless promotion, but hey, you never know. closed mouth don't get fed, right? Yeah, it's just a question. You know what I'm saying? If the Amex want to hit a brother up and say, hey, you know, we could throw you some sponsorship dollars. You know, no, I'm joking. But membership does have its privileges. In the fact, from a business standpoint, now you have a community you can connect with. Get their input. Ask them questions. Don't just, oh, we're dropping a new product, because then you just made a market to sell to, right? And that's what people don't want. That's what people don't want. They don't want to be a part of that. Are you just using us for consumer research? Well, yeah, we could have that kind of relationship too. But it's also a relationship of, I want to get your input and knowledge of what works for you and what makes you happy. Now, you pose it like that, changes up everything. And the best part from a revenue standpoint, not only do you get the predictable income, but now you also have a revenue stream for what? If you're now connecting what people enjoy, maybe you don't produce those products. Maybe you don't produce those services. And let's be honest, maybe it's out of your wheelhouse. Once again, remember I brought up the traveling point. American Express don't own no airplanes. American Express doesn't own a hotel. Although in their history, I think they actually did at one point. I have to look at that. I could have sworn they did. But they definitely don't have an airline. Okay. So what do? They say, well, you know what? Our members are going to be business people. Our members are going to be people who travel a lot with their families. What do they need? They need points to get on the airplane. So let's connect with different airlines. That's why at one point there were better, or you get more points by working with different airlines. Now, if you have a membership model, what do my people need? Well, let's say I have a podcast. Oh, well, I kind of do. Let's say we have a podcast, right? And our podcast is about entertainment. Specifically, let's talk about movies. Now, it's up to you to make these connections and make these partnerships. Once again, why predictable income, or predictable revenue? It might not be net income, maybe gross revenue, but predictable revenue comes into play. Because if you can showcase, hey, look how much money my community is spending with me alone, just to be a member, just to get these additional member benefits. You're an entertainment podcast. Hey guys, you know what? You can use your membership, gets you discount comedy shows, going to the movies, going to plays, going to festivals, going to concerts. Changes a lot. Membership has its privileges for the consumer. But here are the privileges, or I should say, here are the benefits for you. Now you've established a profitable working relationship with additional brands. You can use this to leverage, hey, I want better deals from my team members. You could leverage this. I want opportunities to advertise at your events, at your venues. See, the membership model, and like I say, a lot of people talk about all the other aspects of membership model, which is great. They give you the nuts and bolts, and that's cool. We're going to get into that too. But what they don't do enough, and I haven't heard enough, why is it truly beneficial? Because I can give you there's technical aspects and operational aspects to everything. Anyone can tell you that. What we're going to get into is, why is it best for you? Because you notice what I haven't touched on. I haven't touched on, okay, it's only good for restaurants. It's only good for barbershops. Yes, I've actually been to a barbershop that had a membership program, which was freaking awesome. That's one of the examples I'm going to give you a little later. But what I will always say is that you can always apply this. At least try it. If you have the opportunity, maybe you're just starting your business out, but if you have the opportunity, don't just go for the nuts and bolts. At least think about, how will this help my audience? That's the first thing. Because you notice what I started on is their feelings, what they were thinking about, what it built in their mind, what it put in their heart. Because that's what a membership model should do. Can't tell you enough. I can't say it enough. How many times I remember people, when they would pull out an American Express card, you could see the difference in the reaction of the person accepting the card and the reaction of the person giving the card. Because it was an idea that I'm part of this group. That could be your podcast. That could be your blog. That should be your brand, no matter what it is. When I give you the examples of membership models, you're probably shocked to think, I didn't even think that was a membership model business. But it was. But it is. Now, when we come back, we're going to get into how to apply the membership model. And we're going to get into the technical aspects of it. But keep that in the back of your mind. What benefit? What are the privileges? What are the opportunities that your target audience is going to say, hey, that's right for me. On a human level, that's perfect for me and for what I want. Out of working with a community, out of being a part of a community, whether it's a community of the business owners, whether it's a community of the consumers, doesn't matter. Because that's the first people you're thinking about. The membership model doesn't work for all businesses from an operation technical standpoint, but from a standpoint of how they're trying to connect with their customers. That's the first thing you need to focus on. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts, and then we're going to apply that mindset to those nuts and bolts when we come back. All right, guys, what's good? What's good? So let's get into first clearly defining what a membership model is, okay? So membership model, and this came up from our Core Spaces. It was a question that came up. If you're not part of our Core Spaces, check it out. You got one where you can strictly ask me questions, and another one, it's about very specific topics. Jump in there, ask questions. It's, you know, really awesome to check it out and get you guys input about things and just, you know, see what you guys are working on. The links to our Core Spaces, of course, in the description of this episode. So a membership model, and to answer your question directly, and then, you know, just for the new listeners here, we're always leveraging digital spaces as much as possible, right? Because it not only reduces costs, or eliminates costs completely in some cases, but it also allows you a greater reach, right? Because it's, you know, cross global channels, as opposed to trying to physically get to people here and there. But it can be done, you know, brick and mortar, hand-to-hand style as well. Membership models, typically a type of online business, leveraging the digital space right now, where members pay basically a recurring fee, right? For access to content. Typically it's exclusive content though. Remember, using that term, and I'll bring it up a little later on, a slogan that was coined by American Express some years ago, kind of the privileges of a membership. You get exclusive content, products, services, other benefits. It could be access, right? Or it could be exclusive prices. So you might actually get the same product, right? But at the same time, you know, you're getting the same product as everyone else, but you're getting it at a reduced cost. You know, you're getting it at no cost. And that's a big one. So if a person's not a member, then they have to pay, let's say, $20 for a digital download, digital product, books. But if they are a member, or if you are a member, you don't pay that fee. You pay your membership fee for the year, for the quarter, for half the year, for a semi-annual membership fee. And it includes all these. I would give you a good example right off the bat. Audible. Because I think it's perfect because I always use Audible. I'll give you some other examples, but I'll use Audible real quick. If you sign up for Audible, right? If you sign up for Audible by Amazon, where you listen to your audiobooks, you get one credit, or you can, there's different levels, I believe. You know, I focus on the one with one credit because I want to make sure I read the book. I've done that too much where I get 30 books a month or something crazy like that, you know, and then not read enough of them. No. Get one book. Get a credit where you get one book, right? Now, with that one book, every month, that's part of your membership. If you don't have that membership, you can still use Audible. Here's the difference. You have to buy the books individually. In other words, yeah, I want one book, but it could be $22. It could be $25. It could be $30, right? And yeah, I mean, there's podcasts, there's, you know, all kinds of programming on Audible, and all that comes a part of their membership, including one book a month. But if I don't have a membership, I could buy these individual programs, I could buy these individual podcasts, I could buy these individual books, and I still don't get that one free book a month. And that one book that I'm going to buy, or the two books that I'm going to buy, are different prices. One could be $19, another one could be $25. One could be $10, one could be $9. You know, it could be different prices. But with the membership, that's one set price every month, right? I get my digital download, I get my free book, keep that forever, of course, just like with if I purchase it any other kind of way. But then I also get all this programming for free. It's all included. So that could be that exclusive content that you're getting, right? And that's one of those things that separates the membership model. And even if it's subscription, because subscription service technically is under that membership model, or they, you know, they kind of almost completely interchangeable, but there's a few areas where it differentiates from one another. That's one of the things that makes it so important, is that with the membership model, you're also connecting community. And we're going to talk about the, how you connect community to it. Okay. So the next thing we're going to get into is really those benefits from a business standpoint and a customer standpoint, and how you tie it all together. And then we'll break down from start to finish how you develop that business model, that membership business model, and then how you can apply it to your business. All right, now, what's good, y'all? Let's get it cracking. Hope you got a pen and paper, or you're in front of your iPad, you get a Word document up, got a Google Docs up, because literally this is step by step. And it's in, I try not to oversimplify things, but this is actually very simple. Reason why is because some people, they do that. Oh, it's so easy, you know, to get 100,000 followers. All you have to do is post every day and that's it. What? I mean, literally, some people have made something sound like it's just that simple. And it's not always that simple. You know, keep it real with people. That's always been my thing. And a lot of people, you know, they just do that so they can do a 13-minute video or a 5-minute video. They feel that you don't want to know all the nuts and bolts. And then they're wondering why people come back and they're like, hey, I did everything you told me to do and it still didn't work out. Well, that's because they didn't give you the nuts and bolts. When there are some additional steps. The cool part about this, though, it is actually really this simple. Because, once again, like I said, a lot of people focus on the opposite side of business models or membership business models. When they've done their content, their videos, I've seen it. They focus a lot on, use ConvertKit, use Patreon, you get into the platforms, which is specific to the platform. Great. Don't get me wrong. That's great. And we're definitely going to do that too. The problem is before you even get to that point, the platform itself, it's almost irrelevant, right? Because if you don't do these steps first, no matter what platform you pick, it's kind of like, wow, I want a car, you know, that the zero to 80. Okay, great. Why? Are you trying to get somewhere super fast? Or no, I just want a car. It doesn't make sense, right? It's the why behind things that's the most important. Your customers, the actual pricing model, those types of things, those are extremely important before you even get into, well, I'm going to use this platform over that platform. Because at that point, they're interchangeable. You can use either one. What's easier for your customers? That should be on your forefront. That should be in your mindset. Does it have the tools that you need for the customers? What tools are they looking for? Because here's a great example. If you use a tool, and I can, like I said, we get into examples of tools that pushes email notifications. That's great. But what if you have a customer base? What if you have an audience that doesn't give a dang on about email? Because I know there's plenty of them out there, right? In most cases, email marketing is still more effective than, did I say effective? Yeah, I did. Anyway, email marketing is still more effective than that of social media marketing. In many cases, surprisingly, if I could pull up the research and show you guys, and I'll even showcase. In fact, I'll put that in our core spaces. Hold me to that. I'll put that in the core spaces. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. It's best for all audiences, right? So if you go to a tool, you go to a platform that really pushes email marketing, and there are a few membership, you know, platforms that you can use, or platforms you can use for your membership business model that are really going to push email marketing because that's the core of their business. That might not be best. What if they focus more on SMS? They focus more on text messages. Or they are that social media group. Because you can integrate social media in a couple of these platforms where it's going to work seamlessly. And you could be sending it off like, hey guys, you guys aren't responding to our notifications. We're trying to get your input. We're trying to get your feedback. We're trying to share exclusive deals with you. And then you slowly but surely, you might start hearing from your customers or your audience be like, well, where are you sending it? Via email. None of us go to our emails. That's the problem. That's like you trying, that's like you sending a text message to somebody with an old school phone. You're never going to get the text message. You're going to get that message saying, this phone does not accept, or this line, this service does not accept text messages. It's the same thing, and it happens a lot if you don't do these steps. So here are the steps. Let's get right to it. So that way, pen and paper, notepad app, Google Doc, Word, whatever it is. These are the steps you need to have and set up first, and then you go to the platform. Number one, and it shouldn't be a shocker. We've talked about this numerous times, and I know I'm supposed to make this episode. Been traveling, been sick, had family member stuff going on, so I haven't made this, but I promise you I'll make this episode. First, identify your target audience. Best way to do that with an audience. Target audience is more of an average. You can see my marketing and advertising background, right? Because I'm constantly saying target audience. Customer persona, customer avatar, target audience. Now, target audience is going to come first. Then you really break it down to maybe even an actual person, right? Name them in a persona and avatar, which I will make that episode. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to do it. I know I'm going to do it. So, first and foremost, identify that audience, because here's the thing about it. Remember I said it can be applied to any business. It doesn't necessarily mean every single business should have this model. Know who that audience is first. Most people want to be a part of a community, right? In some shape, form, or fashion. But what if they don't want to be a part of an online community? What if they don't want to be a part of an in-person community? Know your audience before you do all of this, because like I said, there's different platforms to use, and some platforms, they actually can implement this stuff on in person better than they can do online. Don't hear enough people talk about that. Like I said, we're going to get into the different platforms. Next, pick the membership model. Now, this might sound like, wait a minute, I thought they were all the same. They're not. Not all membership models are made the same. Okay, that is a very important piece to understand about everything, because not every membership model is the same. Some focus on benefits, like I brought up about American Express, benefits that are outside. You're earning points to use these benefits and use these points to in other companies. But then that's one aspect, because American Express membership has a lot more to it. But that was one of the biggest selling points in the very beginning. But then there's other membership models. No, there's no points. We don't use them towards other businesses. It's just like I brought up about Audible. No, you get the same product somebody else is paying for flat out. Like, I'll give you a good example with Audible. I'll go right back to it. The last book I bought would have been, I believe, $14.95, right? That's the exact same price as the membership. The book before that would have been, if I'm not mistaken, it was either $21 or $22, right? So it's more than the membership. But I got all the other membership stuff with it for free, including that book, because it was that one credit that I use every month, right? Because that's the membership that I went to. So using that as an example, But once again, remember I told you about me, I'm trying to make sure I read at least one book every month on Audible. I listen to one book every month on Audible because I have a ton of them on my shelf. I want to make sure I get through those. I'm just destroying those, getting through all of those as I'm supposed to, because I bought a ton of books over the last 2 years and I've only read a fraction of them. And I was like, but I still have my Audible membership because I'm reading that one book a month, but I don't want to have more on my plate, right? What about your audience? What about your business? What do people consume the most? Remember I said, know your audience. Know your target audience. Maybe you should have it where you have different tiers, different types of membership models. Some of them have tiers. They have a bronze, silver, gold. Maybe that's how you're going to work it out. Yeah, I've got the $14.95, I've got the $19.95, and I've got the $24.95. Maybe you have, and maybe those tiers pay differently. determine, and this is, once again, I'm not giving you, it should be 3 months. It should be, you know, they pay you every month. It should be that you have three tiers. What works best for your audience? And what's the best way to do that? The number one thing you should do when you're getting feedback from your audience and how to develop this membership model. Guys, what do you want to do? Guys, what do you want to see? Do you want to hear a podcast every month? Every week? Every 2 weeks? 3 times a week? Just ask. You have past customers. You're like, hey, we want to develop a membership model, a model that shows you how much we appreciate you. What do you want? What would make you feel more welcomed and appreciated? And then as that member and a part of this, you know, part of this program, what benefits would you like to see? We want to get your input. It's a simple question. Remember I just brought up about communication? Well, do you guys prefer to get emails, us contact you via Facebook Messenger? I give you a good example about that before I go to the third step, because it actually falls in line with this. So there was one blog that I was a regular member, was a member of it for a long time. I just stopped because I just didn't consume the content as much anymore. I didn't, you know, didn't make sense to just keep getting emails, but I was going through the email. But the thing that got me was the fact that they did all their communication. Yeah, they would send an email once a month, but they did their regular communications. I mean, regular, like daily, weekly kind of stuff, went through Facebook Messenger. And I was using Facebook a lot because I was using Facebook a lot for clients. That's when I was really getting into Facebook advertising. So I was on Facebook all the time, setting up the bot, you know, setting up the fact, making like pages, stuff like that. So I'm like, well, I'm going to be on there all the time for the clients, and I'm going to go to my Facebook manager account. I should have Messenger up. I like this group. I like what they're talking about. They made a whole community in a Facebook group. They did all the communication through Facebook Messenger. And you know why? Because people who joined the group or people who joined their membership program, they came from their Facebook group. So they're like, well, why not keep you in the same platform where clearly you like to listen to us, or at least you found us, Facebook. So they did it through Facebook Messenger, which leads to number three. Once you know what type of model, well, first, once you know the audience and what they're interested in. Second, once you have the type of model you want to do you want to make it about benefits? Do you want to make it about exclusive content? Do you want to have tiers? What type of software? What is going to be the communication channel for you to connect with them? And you notice I said software as the communication channel. I didn't focus on software as, well, how do you give them digital products and stuff? Once again, if you're not communicating, if you're not listening, and if you're not speaking to them on a regular basis, that takes away the community aspect, and that misses the entire purpose of having a membership model. Like I said, everyone else focuses on use ConvertKit, jump to MailChimp, jump to this. It's about the people you are connecting with in the audience. If you don't establish that, notice I bring up the places we connect. If you don't establish where you're going to connect and communicate, and you know that's where people are going to connect with you and going to communicate with you, then what the hell do you have the model for? Bring up Core Spaces. You notice I'm not talking about any other platform half time. See, the Core Spaces and LinkedIn, that's it. That's where we go. That's where our people are. So same thing here. So with that, what's going to be the way you communicate? Choose your membership model software. That could be Patreon. That could be Patreon. That could be Snapchat. That could be Instagram. That could be, you know, or all of Meta's tools put together, right? So you connect with them via Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp. That could be it. That could be TikTok. But what's the way that they found you? What's the way they like to connect with you? What's the way that you are listening to them? And I said that in reverse because listening should be number one. If you're not listening to them, if you're not listening to them, you won't know what to send them. You won't know what they feel is a benefit. None of that stuff. Using my example again, that was the best way to communicate with me at the time when I was a part of the Facebook group, was through Facebook Messenger. We connected, all the members connected through the group. And then on a regular basis, the admin, who was actually the guy who started the business, he would connect with us via Facebook Messenger. You know, and I would love to see you guys at group. Unfortunately, the whole business, the group, all of it went away. you know, unfortunately, not for good reasons. You know, it's not like he just retired, unfortunately. It was one of the casualties of COVID, literally one of the casualties of COVID, sadly enough, because it unfortunately happened to a lot of people. And I bring that up just because as a community, we came together and we even came together and talked about our stories. You know, somebody rebuilt it. They tried a whole new, but it just wasn't for me anymore. You know, I was like, I'm not on Facebook, number one, but I'm beyond what the topic we were talking about, you know. And it was a small group. It was a tight knit group. We happily were paying to be a part of it because we got exclusive content emailed to us. We got exclusive eBooks and stuff like that. And once again, this was very exclusive. I mean, he wasn't posting on Amazon. He wasn't posting anywhere. We would only get this content. It was a really cool business model. And I saw the beauty of it. And I said, why don't more people do something like this? Because I didn't hear about it. And we would talk about it in the group because a lot of us were in, you know, the startup entrepreneur space, because that's what we mostly would talk about, but a very specific aspect of startups and entrepreneurs. So and the great part about that is you built up a community at that time. And some of those people I still talk to, you know, they follow all the blogs, they follow all the websites, they follow other things like that. And they, you know, they shared. I'm like, yeah, maybe. Some of them I've joined, some of them I checked out, but that's the whole point, is you become part of a community. That's why I said the first thing is that audience and what they're looking for. The first thing is audience and what they're looking for. So what is the communication channel for them to connect with you, for you to listen to them? Now, I brought up exclusive content and benefits and, you know, affiliations and things like that. What can you leverage? Once again, don't hear this enough from people when they're talking about this is a membership model topic on YouTube, podcasting thing. What can you leverage? Because once you find out what they're interested in, can you leverage anything you've already produced? In other words, products, services, content. And then the fifth aspect of that, what new exclusive or premium product, service, of content should you offer? So it's twofold, right? Don't let, you know, immediately, oh my God, I gotta have all this premium exclusive stuff. Not necessarily, because going back to Audible, the same book I purchased as a member is the same book I can purchase as a non-member. The only difference is I don't have to spend that additional, you know, that the previous month, I didn't have to spend that additional about $20, right? So I added my membership. I got that with that credit, but I had all those podcasts and I had all that other content that came along with it. If I didn't have that membership, I would have to pay for those podcasts. I would have to buy another type of membership, or I would have to buy the book separately, right? Very important. What can I leverage first that my customer, because my customers are interested in it, because they could have told you, hey, I love what you produce already. I just might want to pay a little less. Hey, okay. Well, you know what? I would, as a business, if I'm thinking, hey, I would still get a profit. If I charge 10 for this, I would still make a profit from it if I only charge 5 for it. Because really, at the end of the day, the cost is maybe $1 to make it. So I'm charging normally 10. If I charge the members 5, right? I charge normally $10. So non-members is $10, members is $5. I still make a profit. It could be something that simple. Or you can make a reduced version of it, and then you make a premium version for the member. So, hey, if you're a non-member, maybe you only get the ebook. Maybe you only get you know, so many templates if I'm selling templates. Maybe you don't get access to an exclusive course. But if you're a member, you get the course. You get the full ebook. You get additional content that's part of the ebook. Maybe you get a one-on-one consultation. Now, of course, I'm giving you from an online perspective, but that doesn't have to always be online, because a one-on-one consultation, that could be anything. You could be home inspection. It could be, you could be working with a broker. You could be working in, you know, real estate. You could be working in finance. You could be working in some aspects, maybe even legal. You know, because every business at that point, you know, that's got to be very careful about, you know, some restrictions on the legalities of the business and the industry. But you could be a personal trainer. Yeah, I give you a one-on-one consultation. It could be virtual. It could be in person. Maybe it's easier for you to do it in person. That's what I'm saying. You can apply this. You just have to see what works for your audience. And with that premium content, or with that exclusive content, or with that premium product or service could be, I throw in a free oil change. Maybe we're auto shop. Yeah, we throw in a free oil change every month or every few months. If one of your, you know, your brake light or your engine light comes on, you bring it in for free. No additional charge. We'll charge you for the services that if we have to fix anything or anything needs to be worked on, but just to look at it for free. Now, don't get me wrong, that could be something you already do. Great. If that's the case, then you make sure, hey, this is why you should be a part of our business community anyway, because we do this for free. Now, premium, let's put something on top of that. Maybe you start deals and this, your premium content isn't what you produce. This is a number one place where I think most, especially even online businesses miss out. They say, oh, I have to produce all my premium content. Why do you always, what? if you got the right kind of business, your premium content, and this is my opinion, of course, number one place you should look for the premium stuff should be outside. In other words, take that American Express route. We've set up deals with 10 other businesses for you. That's why when people advertise, I'll give you a good example. When people advertise and their advertisement or their sponsorships is that, oh, use my exclusive code, use my exclusive code. That's cool. That's great. And that's part of the advertisement. Here's one drawback to that. It's exclusive. So only your audience, that means anybody who's passing by watching your content one day picks up an exclusive code and moves on. Well, what about this? What if those exclusive codes were only, hey, I'm giving y'all free game on this one, okay? This every single episode, y'all get free advice. And I can tell you right now, something that was told me by a very well-respected a business consultant from many, many moons ago. As my mom used to say, many, many moons. Many, many days ago. When somebody offers you free advice, that means it ain't. Just run with it. Try it. Test it out real quick. Play with it. See where it works. If it doesn't, okay, it doesn't work. Move on. But if they're giving you free game, they're giving you free, as we, you know, if they're giving you free info, dropping free gems, that means it ain't cost you nothing to say, hey, you know what? Let me try it out real quick. Boom. Let me see if it works for my business. Or boom, let me see if it works for what I want to do. Test it out. Get people's feedback. If it doesn't work, okay. If it does work, even better. If you get these exclusive affiliate links, and I mean exclusives when it comes to a deal, of course, right? You want to be like, get 10% off, 15% off. That sounds like something that should go in your membership program. This is why you wouldn't sign a deal like that for volume. Because volume is great. Volume is traffic. You want conversions. Who has a better chance of converting? The person who spends $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month on your program, on your business. They spend it because they're a member. They spend 10, 15, whatever dollars on your program. They are far more likely to take advantage of that exclusive offer because they're like, wait a minute, that's part of my membership. Think about that for a second, because I know you probably have it because not enough people think about it. I've seen so many people do this. My exclusive code gets you 15% off. So I passed by your YouTube channel. I just looked at your video for 5 minutes just to see what it's about. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I get 15% off? And I'm going to be real with y'all. I've done that. And I've never gone back to look at that person's videos again. But I know I got 15% off that order. And I was happy as a kid in a candy store. And I know what you're probably saying. Well, maybe you went back to see if they had other deals. Nope. Because I did not like the video. But I love the fact that I got 15% off that deal. So when you think about premium content, oh man, I got to spend all this extra time making an exclusive version. I got to make all this extra time planning. Or maybe I set up the right affiliate deals, or I set up the right sponsorship deals to say, hey, you know what? I have 1,000 members. I have 1,000 members. And out of those 1,000 members, almost everything I sell to them, and I mean, it is technically selling. Let's be honest. It is somewhat selling. 900 convert. Say what now? any business you tell them that, you say what now? Now, you're not guaranteeing. What you're saying is you have a higher conversion rate, right? So you would share the conversion rate. You would share a percentage if you want to get down to that level, which they should rightfully ask you. And you should have the legit numbers to show them. But that's why I'm saying this, because if you're at that point, oh, yeah, we're going to give you 10% off, 5% off, 30% off, whatever they're going to do. And we're going to pay you this amount of money for it. Because you have a higher conversion rate as opposed to, yeah, you have 500,000 views or something like that. But what's the conversion rate on those? Maybe 500. Maybe 1,000. And yeah, the video stays up there forever. But wait. If it's on YouTube. Wait a minute. You have a membership, right? So that means these people are dedicating time to come to your Patreon, to your Vimeo. Remember, the platform is irrelevant at this point. Because you can make exclusive videos for your members that's unlisted on YouTube. You can make exclusive videos that are unlisted on Vimeo. You can have the tiers on your Patreon where only certain tiers see that video. You notice I gave you three completely different ways where that video still is exclusive going to that group. And I didn't even mention the part you really should have, which is your own website. I'm harping on this one because this is the area where you can make the most both ways, from the membership, from the conversions, because if it's an affiliate, you're getting paid for that. And if you sign, you should be signing sponsorship deals like this, where you get paid on the back end and the front end. If you're not, you need a better agent or a manager. Or when I manage people, I should have been your manager because I would have told you that. You got to get paid on the front end and the back end. And if you're not, you're getting some ownership rights or something. And all that goes back to what I just said. The main place they should be coming to is your website. That's the sixth step. That's the sixth area. Your website. Remember, you don't own YouTube. You don't own Patreon. You don't own Vimeo. As much as people might put in your head, you do. You don't. You can make all the content you want for them. You don't own any of these guys. And I'm not knocking them. Hell, I love YouTube. I'm all over YouTube. I talk about Quora. I love LinkedIn. You know, Podbean, all of them. I don't own any of these platforms, though. And I'm not going to lie to myself and say I do. Until one day I do. Right? But you have to be honest with yourself. You do own your website. If Patreon changes its terms and agreement, terms and conditions, what's going to happen? All of it's gone. You could lose complete access to everything. Or they'll give you maybe some time to download your stuff, tell your members all that stuff, but you won't be able to use it again. Twitter is no longer Twitter. It's now X. Thankfully, they know how to do a redirect, and they did all that. So if you type in Twitter, it takes you to X. That's great. Thank you so much. But I can tell you right now, I remember the first few days when we were talking about X. And it's funny because depending upon the age group, I mentioned, oh, yeah, they're on X, and a person snapped. They're like, oh, you can't say that. That doesn't sound professional. You're talking about that kind of a website. I'm like, no, that's the name of the site now. It's called X, which doesn't help people because it does make you think it's something different, right? A lot of people were thinking that when it first started, like, that don't sound too. And it's a huge difference from Twitter, huge difference. But hey, we don't own that platform. If nothing else showed you about how much you don't own a platform, between that and then when Facebook changed its entire algorithm and destroyed the organic search aspects and just made it to where, well, if you ain't got the money to invest in this thing, it's hard to really promote a business on those platforms. And I said promote a business. I didn't say have a business. Promote a business and get traction like you want it. Your website. Now, I'm not going to harp on this one, but let me tell you right off the bat. Every major website builder platform and website in general from scratch, they can be customized, of course. But website builder platform, every single one of them have a membership aspect now. 3 years ago, that wasn't the case. Some of the biggest and the best, I still didn't understand why they didn't do it. Now they all do. Everybody has one. Everybody has one. Can't name one that doesn't. Webflow, Shopify, Squarespace, Weebly, which is now Squarespace, Wix. Of course, WordPress, because you know, customize that to hell, and it's freaking awesome because you can do everything you want with it, okay? And then you can have web builders or websites built, and they're already part of some of the biggest membership platforms. ConvertKit, MailChimp, Vertical Response even has one. I mean, you name them, they all have them. No reason not to have that website. Hell, Canva, have your website, have your domain, own a piece of digital real estate. We have an entire episode about digital real estate and what that means. If you don't know what it means, go to the episode, check it out. It's freaking awesome. Can tell you the breakdown of how it works for you. Have that website. And then that way you can check, you can test out different models on the website. Maybe your personal website has a different model than you have on Patreon. We have that. We have that here at the Ambition Show, right? The model that we have on another platform is specific for that platform because it works for the audience on that platform. But here on the website, it's a little bit more robust because we can fully customize it the way we want to. But audience members wanted that option. They have that option. There you go. Next up, create an onboarding strategy. Remember I brought up, well, maybe you don't just have it to where they apply, but they also apply and they have to be interviewed. I'll tell you this right now. This is a major barrier of entry. I will call this out. But if you're trying to set up your platform and your membership model to where it's very, where it's based on exclusivity, where it's based on privilege, where it's based on luxury, where it's based, you know, you want barriers of entry because your goal isn't to have everyone. It's not a quantity game. It's a quality game. And I'm not saying lower quality people. I'm saying quality when it comes into the content offer. Because then, remember I talked about the premium content. Well, if these people who you're targeting don't see the benefit in that premium content, it's not premium. I had a client in a consultation one time. And I hated that this person just completely missed the ball when we were talking about premium content for a program that they were developing. I said, well, here's the premium. They're like, yeah, it's premium because this one, he literally said this, because the regular price is, I think it was like $29 or $39.99. And the premium price was $100. I'm like, that doesn't make it premium. The price, it's the same thing. It's literally the same product. And he was saying what makes it premium was the cost. And at the program he was going to have, the event he was going to have, he was just going to charge more. And I was like, yeah. Then if those people who bought it at 100 see that same product a couple of days later in the same city for I think it was like $29.99. You're going to lose a lot of customers for the future. And see, that's where you're thinking long term, not short term. Like I said, I don't F with the get rich quick schemes. I don't mess with none of that stuff. Everything I talk about is work, but it's fruitful long term. Because the idea is we want something that benefits, that brings real value. So with that being said, what's that onboarding strategy? Are the people I'm connecting with going to find the benefit? Are the people I'm connecting with, how many people do I should I really have in this group? Maybe your membership model, we talked about pick the model, right? Maybe there's only so many members. Ooh, I just said it. I just said it. Yes, I laughed at my own jokes. Maybe you only have so many members. Membership has its privileges, remember? Well, only 1,000 people can be members. Only 1,000 people can be platinum members or gold members. Treat it like a sponsorship package at an event. What's that onboarding strategy? Because you're like, hey, anybody can be a member at any other level except for that gold level. At gold level, you have to be interviewed, you have to pay the annual fee. Now, this won't work for all businesses. No. That's why the very first thing you do, identify your audience and know who your audience is. Number one, knowing the audience. Number two, pick the membership model that works for you and the criterion, right? Choose membership software, the platform that you're going to use that fits best for that audience and the type of membership. Number four, what content can I reuse or what products or services can I reuse? What is already in my toolkit that I can reuse, right? Number five, what premium content can I develop? I do suggest This should be your sponsorships. This should be your affiliates. This should be your packages, the upgrades. With me, your membership with me, you get the book. Premium content, exclusive to members that I don't produce, but I do make sure you have access to, podcasts on this other platform. Ebooks on the other platform. Maybe I produce the ebook, but I don't produce the audiobook. But you get the audio version on this other platform. Number six, your website. You need your own platform. Yeah, people can go right to Patreon. Yeah, people can go right to your ConvertKit. Yeah, people can go right to, you know, your OnlyFans if you have the OnlyFans platform. But what about my website? Now, I want you to come back to my ecosystem. Because also, if you're offering that premium content, you can showcase. See, people stop here first before they go to that platform. People come here first. People go through my blog to get to all of our content that's out there on TikTok, Snapchat, whatever it may be. Right? And if you have a good website, all of them. I'm not knocking any website builder. I'm not knocking any platform. All of them have great mobile versions if you know what you're doing and you work with the right developers. Right? Take the time to know what you're doing. You don't have to know it out the gate. Take your time. Develop it properly. Because once you identify that audience, you also identify what works best for them. And that will help you pick a platform, a website builder. Seven, what's that onboarding strategy? How are you going to get them into your membership, right? Is the barrier of entry too high or is the barrier of entry too low? Because if you say, hey, man, you're going to pay $10,000 a year for this, I can tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of people who don't even care because you lost them at the $10,000. You lost them. You could have had the best sales spiel on earth, but you lost them when you hit 10,000. You lost them when you hit 1,000. You lost them when you hit 10. You got to know who you're talking to because maybe they'd be like, you know, this is great. I see a dollar value in this. You mean, yeah, well, how many dollars? No. $1, $1. That's how much I think is worth. Oh, but the membership is about $20. Well, then I'm going out the door. Okay. You just lost them, which goes to number eight, the pricing model. Okay. That's the pricing model. Once again, you notice I start off with knowing these people before you start talking to somebody. Well, we know we can't charge $100. We know we can't charge $50, but they'll take 25 or 20. And it's still profitable for us. Because if you know that, then you can determine all those other pieces. This is also why I say the premium content, it'd be great if you partnered with somebody or you offered a you know, cross benefit, co-branding, because that way it takes that emphasis and that investment off of you. So that pricing model needs to cover all of this. And sometimes that premium content can come at a big loss to yourself. Number ninth step, promote it right. And this is why you need to know how to communicate with them. If these are email people, capturing emails is going to be great. Now, don't get me wrong. You should capture emails anyway. You should capture emails. But if these customers or this target audience doesn't respond a lot to email, they don't convert a lot on email, then that means your capture shouldn't just be an email. Clearly, it needs to be a phone number. Needs to be an address. It needs to be, you know, their social media. I can't, free game. You know what? This is what we're going to do. Because it's like the third time I've thought about this. And I'm actually going to say it. We're going to do a free game graphic. Free gems, free game. I'm going to ask you guys. And I'm going to put it on YouTube and Quora. I'm going to put it on both. And I'm going to ask you, what would you rather see? Would you rather have a graphic or what type of graphic? Yeah, what type of graphic is going to be called out free game or free? Is it going to be free game or free gems? Because this is a good one. Once again, I don't see this enough. Why doesn't anyone ask for consent to contact people on social? I'm going to say it again. And you notice I didn't say just, oh, give me your social media and I'm going to contact you. Why don't people ask, hey, can we contact and connect with you on social? They say, yeah, follow us on social. What's your tag? We'll shout you out. We'll shoot you. You know, we'll call you out. Hey, you're a new member. Welcome. Here's your code. Go check your DMs for your code. As opposed to an email. Why don't people do that? I'm telling you, this is what we're gonna do immediately. I'm gonna put both. Put a Core Spaces and put YouTube, and I'm gonna compare those two. Free gym or free game graphic, because y'all getting them, and if you're not using them, well, I'm gonna use them. I'll just use it because I'm definitely gonna use it now. Don't know why no one does that. Okay, final step. And this is with anything. This is anything. Monitoring, right? Because it's like it goes back to SMART goals. You just want to make sure that, let's say every 3 months might be a little too much, especially when you first get started. I would suggest this as you get started to really see how things are going. You know, it's going to take time. So I would suggest making it like a semi-annual or annual thing. But when you really get into the mode of things, I would say the first 3 years. If you know you're going and you're monitoring the performance semi-annually, and then at the end of the year you collect, okay, the first 6 months was this way, the final 6 months was this way, what did we learn taking into next year? I would say after the first 2 to 3 years, then you say, okay, now we're going to start monitoring. If we're going to stay on this route, now we're going to start monitoring every 3 months, because now you should see, are we growing? Are we losing? Can we scale somehow? Can we replicate this in some kind of way? That's when you want to look at those things. So go through it again. Step one, identify your audience. Step two, pick the right membership motto. Okay, I said motto, model. forgive me, y'all. I had no coffee today and I'm brother struggling. choose your membership platform, your membership software, the communication channel. I put those all together under three because that's why you're picking that, really. It's not just to say, oh, because we can offer exclusive video. It's because how do you want to be communicated with? Because I told you, I gave you an example. I was a member of that, and I paid to be a part of an exclusive Facebook group. All the guys, well, I should say all. The majority of the ones I stayed connected with, all of us got what we wanted out of that group. The business advice, we were able to use the tools that we were given. We started our own businesses. Some of them are a lot more successful than others. Some of them, I mean, people stuck with it. People stayed connected. So it made it worth it. And it wasn't super expensive or anything because it was Facebook, but it was leveraged to where this is exclusive. There's only so many members. I actually didn't mention that. It wasn't, and I actually think that's where I got that initial idea from, was it was cut off. It was like literally, it's only so many members. And we literally saw it. I was there for, like I said, almost 3 years. Unfortunately, like I said, how it went away because of COVID. But the group was limited. He wouldn't go over a certain amount of people, and we all knew each other. We met up every few days, you know, virtually. It was really cool. So choose what software is best for you. Maybe you're like, yeah, maybe WhatsApp is good. Maybe Facebook is good. Maybe Patreon starts out, and then you can evolve, right? Then step four, what content or what services, what products do I have already in that toolkit that I can leverage? Maybe I beef it up, change the color, change the font. If it's content, maybe I add more chapters, you know, maybe with the products, you know, I give you a certificate of authenticity, something like that. If it's something physical, you never know. Premium content. I still say first look out for sponsors, affiliates, people you can connect and do co-branding with. If you have that invest, if you can invest that time, if you can invest that effort, that's when you then say, okay, I'm gonna make my own premium. Build the website and your brand. Do not slack on this. You don't own Snapchat. You don't own WhatsApp. You don't own Facebook. You don't own Patreon. You own that website. Seven, create the onboarding strategy. How are they going to become members? What barriers of entry should you have for the exclusivity and the privileges of your membership? Because remember, membership has its privileges. What's going to be your pricing model? If you're giving privileges, if you're giving them benefits, if you're giving them this exclusivity, you got to charge for that. This is business. It's going to cost you to produce these things. So don't skimp on this, but also be realistic about it. Don't charge nobody no $10,000 for one 10-page ebook. Okay. And the ebook has a bunch of information and content that, frankly, they could have just found on any other blog. Now, if that ebook has that content that literally gives them a step-by-step game plan to become a millionaire overnight, $10,000 is, you know, you're kind of giving it kind of cheap. So that's my point. The pricing model has to fit. How are you going to promote with them? This goes back to knowing that audience, how they like to be communicated with, how they like to be connected with. Because if you can't just promote, if they don't read magazines and physical periodicals, then don't put in a magazine. It's literally that simple. If they don't open up emails, don't send it via email. Don't do an email campaign. If they're all over Instagram and TikTok, well, that shows you where you need to be. Advertising, maybe even working with an influencer. And then finally, setting up a monitoring schedule. Not enough people talk about this. You should have a monitor. You should go back every, I say, at least when you're starting out, semi-annually. And then after that, go to quarters. Because then if you ever say, hey, you know what? I want to step away from the business. I want to exit the business. I want to evolve the business. You need to see how it's really working out those every 3 months and break that down. Like, ooh, we had a really tough one. We had a tough beginning of the year. And then you'll also see, hey, you know what? When we were looking at it from a 6 month span, the first 6 months were very up and down. The last 6 months were strong. Why is that? But then you look at that quarterly, you look at it every 3 months or every 4 months, you know, if you want to go business quarters. But if you look at it every 3 months, you're like, wait a minute. January, February, March. That's a real tough time for us. April, May, June. It's through the roof. That's why we're seeing this up and down. Maybe it's a specific time period. Maybe it's a specific season that's rougher for you. Membership model. Gyms follow a membership model, right? That's what they see. That December through February is crazy. And then they hit a drop off. Okay. It's like they literally pushed themselves, okay, off of Mount Everest. When they start looking at March. I mean, even honestly, they're looking at February, but especially March, April, May. Good Lord, look at June. And they go back, they look at June compared to January. Good googly moogly. Why are we even in this business? If you run a gym. So those are important. I harped on this and I stayed on this for a long time because this, like I said, the membership model stuff, I'm giving you these step by steps. If somebody's giving it to you in 13 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, that kind of stuff, you got to question, am I getting all the real information? Like I said, this is the nuts and bolts. My goal is at the end of this episode, you'll be able to walk and say, hey, you know what? Okay. Patreon, boom. Facebook, boom. Here's my website, boom. You could take this whole episode and just sit in front of a computer and get it all started. I'm being real with you. There's really no reason why at the end of this episode or throughout this episode, you are not able to establish a membership business model, at least, because that's what we're focusing on, right? So with that, got a good one for you when it comes to our book for this episode. Ooh, I got a real good one for you. When we come back, we'll go over the book of the episode, share that with you. And of course, I wonder where that link is going to take you when we come back. All right, we're back now. So what we went over the 10 steps of how to establish and apply that membership model to your business. But number one, of course, in every first step is first defining and identifying the audience. If you don't have the audience for it, if they don't respond to a membership model, then it's not even worth it. Identify your audience. Would that model work for them? Ask them questions. And identify what would be a great part of what great aspects of that membership service and a membership program for them. Because like I say, I gave you the example that a lot of people probably would have never thought of. They would never thought of like a barbershop. And I mentioned I was going to go a little bit deeper into that. So just real quick, the barbershop, I believe they had three different levels. They had tiers. So it's silver, gold, platinum. And one of the things that they offered, because they knew exactly who they were working with, they knew perfect thing about their target audience. these guys are going to come in. They go out to a lot of business meetings and stuff like that. They want to get cleaned up. So they, one of the benefits they offered was a free lining. Now, I can't remember if that was gold and platinum or just platinum, but they would offer free lining every week. If you like me, brothers, y'all know you want to stay cleaned up. And some of y'all, let's just be real, me too, don't always want to line yourself up. Maybe sometimes you don't at all. You just, not even sometimes, you're just like, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to deal with this. I'd rather have a professional do it. I'd rather have somebody else who I know, you know, I go to on a regular basis for my haircut. That was part of the membership. That was one of the benefits. A free lining every week. Perfect. They know how much you're already spending a certain amount on your haircut, right? So if you become part of the membership, you get a slight discount on those haircuts and other services, but you get a free lining every week. Every 7 days. Beautiful. It wasn't based on having 10 cuts, 20 cuts, 30 cuts, something like that. It's a free lining. Because it got you back in. And you know what it did? It also made you bring other people. So it's like, because they knew you ran with certain crowds. And that's my point. You got to know those members. Or you got to know those people potentially who will become the members. You got to know that audience first. So now that we've gone over that, I'll give you the book of this episode. In the book of this episode, first off, I mentioned how I, you know, bought a lot of physical books, and now I went away from Audible, came back to Audible. And the more I travel, went right back to Audible because it's easier to, you know, have Audible with you. This is one of the first books when I got back into Audible, one of the first books I picked up, and one of the few, I brought a few of these up in the past, one of the few where I have the audio version and I have the physical version, because this is the book you're right there at your computer. You can listen to and you can start building out your membership program. It's not a textbook, but it's a great guide, right? It's a great book to use as a guide because of the strategy, the history. You don't just learn the history of course, how memberships work. You get a breakdown of why they work. And that's the most important aspect, why they work. Okay. The book is The Membership Economy by Robbie Kelman Baxter. Make sure you put it in right, because if you put in Robbie Baxter, wrong person probably come up. Robbie Kelman Baxter. And she has developed not only a full program, right, a full course, but an entire platform around understanding this. She has a podcast, subscription stories, awesome podcast. Checked out quite a few episodes. And just like the book, right? You can learn from the success and the failures of others who've implemented their own subscription and membership programs. But the reason why I like this book and I connect it to our whole platform is it's just very similar to the show. It's not just, once again, I stay away from these things. It's just academia. It's not just theory. It's application. Just like this episode. Literally, you could take this episode, sit down, copy and paste those 10 steps from the description, listen to what I'm discussing about the different programs and things to look out for, and start building out the skeleton, the outline of what your program is. Same thing you could do with this book, right? Now you can get the intricacies and go into different tactics and activities to develop that program. The Membership Economy. Like I said, make sure you put in all three names. Okay. It's Robbie Kelman Baxter. Because if you put in, I think a totally another person, a guy even comes up if you just put in Robbie Baxter. So Robbie Kelman Baxter, The Membership Economy, pick it up. Link to that book is in the description of the episode. And between this episode, that book, have them, if you have one Audible, one, you know, in the physical book, or you know, you listen to the Audible of the book, then you go to this podcast. Either way, I'm telling you, once you determine membership works for your audience, now you have the keys to saying, okay, these are the next steps I need to complete to stand up that platform, and these are the tactics I need to make that a successful platform or successful program. So the membership business model, and this is, of course, like I said, it's part of our series of just going through different business models that you could apply to your business or you could apply to your upcoming business. As with every episode, I owe you. I made this promise to you from the very beginning, from the very first episode. Actually, I made this promise in the trailer of the show, just being honest with you. Number one, a business model canvas. It's a free template of a business model canvas. If you've never worked within a business model canvas before, the cool part about that business model canvas, there's a link to a video on how to use a business model canvas. And I know what you're probably saying for the people who've been asking for this. Okay, well, you got the video for the business model canvas out there. Why don't you got the video for the customer avatar? Because you keep talking about them. I'm still going to make the episode for the customer avatar. Also, in the description of this episode, I have not forgotten that. Also, in the description of this episode, you have a link to a free template for customer persona. Those two right there. When you're going in, like I said, you copy paste those 10 steps. You start putting them into a Word document or a Google Doc. Can jump over to your customer persona. If you already have a customer avatar or customer persona, great. That might not be the same customer for the membership, though. You can take elements, because that's why you can start asking your current audience questions. That's why you can start connecting with that audience about this. What would you like to see in a membership model? Here's a great question. Man, once again, y'all got to let me know. I'm putting that poll out there. putting that survey out there. Do you want, should it be called free game or free gems? Just came to me again. I had to step back and just pat myself on the back real quick. All right. The best question you could ask them probably, as opposed to like, do they want a membership model anyway, or they want a subscription part of your business? What is their favorite current membership? Boom. I literally just dropped a mic. You didn't hear it because I have some really good audio. No, I didn't drop a mic. But that is a drop the mic kind of statement. Because if you get an idea of the memberships they're already a part of that they like the most, then you can say, oh, what are the benefits? What are the things you like about that membership? And you can start to form, okay, this is what my membership, if they do want it from me, this is what my membership should have elements of. Once again, it doesn't have to be, because it could be a gym. They're like, oh yeah, but I get a discount if I go to a smoothie bar or I go to a health food store or I go get a discount on apparel or something like that. But that shows you if they like things like that, well, maybe if they go to my membership model, they want to have benefits at other places where they can, where services, I complement those services, you know? And that's why I said it can be used for any business, any industry. You just have to do the footwork. Yeah, I know this means we have to work. But like I said, everything here is no get rich quick scheme, none of that crap here. I stayed away from those things. I still stay away from those things. There's a lot of opportunities, a lot of secrets, a lot of things that people don't know about out there. And that's what this is more about. But it's nothing like, oh, you get something for free. Except for these gems I'm dropping, except for these great tips that I'm giving y'all for free. Pay me. No. Okay. This is why we created this platform in the very beginning. But like I said, I want to know what you want to see for that graphic. Ask them that question. And then you can really start to formulate what is best for the membership I'm going to offer. Ooh, okay, so I'm gonna leave you out with that one. That was a great one. So you got, like I said, takeaways, that book, The Membership Economy, number one, literally, this podcast episode, that book, you can literally, within one sheet of paper, start out your membership model. And then from there, you can start building out the business model for that membership, because now you have that template that you should download for free over at Canva, and then also the customer persona. Because remember, that same customer, that avatar, that persona might not be, most likely won't be, the same customer you have for every other product and service that you offer. Every product and service could have its own customer persona. If no one's ever told you that, then something to think about, especially the larger your offering is, right? From there, you let me know. When I launch this survey, you let me know. Which one do you want? Do you want the free, I'm going to have a sound effect and everything to it. Free gym or free game? When I'm dropping those great pieces of advice and tips for y'all. Is it going to be a free gym drop or is it going to be a free game drop? And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to do it. I just need to know which one to do. And I'm listening to you guys. The number one aspect of a really good brand, when you're developing your brands, listening to your audience, listening to the people that you're serving, listening to the people that you're trying to bring and provide value to. So with that, next episode, Lord, hold on. The next episode is a model that gets a lot of press. I will say that, not necessarily in this way, like not like with membership models where it's a lot of good press and it's good trends. Yeah, y'all, we going to multi-level marketing, y'all. Yeah, we going to multi-level marketing. Quite possibly the most controversial business model. And the funny thing about it, it's probably the most commonly known business model besides membership. Multi-level marketing. Oh yeah, we going there. So with that, thank you once again for checking out another episode of the Ambition Show podcast. Drop a comment. Let me know what you think of this episode. Let me know which drop you want to see. Free gym, free game. Let me know which one. And don't forget to grab those free templates. Check out the membership economy. Great book. I would love to know what your favorite part of the book is too. You know, if you want to put that just in your comment, that's awesome. You know, if it's not about the episode, just say, this book is awesome, Aaron. Here's my review. Here's my critique. You know, maybe you, if you have another membership book, always let me know. Somebody suggested another book for one of our episodes. And it was a really good one. Unfortunately, I don't have that with me now, but I will definitely share it. All right. So with that, y'all, peace, love, and I probably can't say that other slogan because I might get sued by them. So listeners have their privileges. No. Best of you guys. I will see you in the next episode. Yeah, we're gonna really get into it. Multi-level marketing is going to be our next business model that we review. So we're really going to get into it. Best of y'all. Thanks for watching the episode of the Ambition Show. I've been your host, Aaron Muhammad. Peace.